Welcome to the Board of Music. Can hear me at all? There, I can hear me now. The technical issue. Okay. Can everybody hear me?
Yes.
Okay, good. It's just me that can't hear me. This is not a special edition. This is our new time and day, Sundays. Just figured it would probably work with everybody's schedule. This week, not so much. And with the holidays coming up, we will either be taking a couple of weeks off or doing Tuesdays or something along those lines. But for now, this is Board Wrestling Fan Radio, Episode 4. Joining me, of course, is JT. And
hey.
Hello.
All right. G will be with us shortly, we believe. We've got the call ready to go to him whenever he's available. We didn't miss much since the last show. There's been two shows since the last show, two wrestling shows on TV. Of course, being Impact and last night's SmackDown. Or not last night's, but Friday night's SmackDown. If you want to be technical, Ring of Honor was on last night in the Buffalo market. It wasn't on in all the markets. I did not catch the show last night. I'll catch the replay tonight. And I think it's only fair that so we don't spoil the show for anybody that doesn't see Ring of Honor on Saturdays but gets it on Sundays. There is, I think we'll talk about the shows a week after they air just to kind of make sure, you know, we don't spoil it for anybody.
That's why I wait to get the show reviews up, because I know not everybody's up, up to watching it. Hello?
Exactly. I'm here. I'm just I'm paying more attention to Skype, I think, than anything else. G says there's lots of snow in Calgary. I just sent a call out to him, so hopefully we'll get him in.
I think I'm here.
Oh, there you are. Hey,
there he is.
You are here. All right.
Sorry about that.
Yay!
Welcome.
Hello.
We were just lamenting the fact that next week we're going to talk about this week's Ring of Honor show, because in some markets it hasn't aired yet.
So yeah, I don't get it until 11:30 p.m. tonight, so I won't see it until later.
Yeah.
Some markets, it's already aired twice.
Yeah. Here in Buffalo, it aired last night at 9, but I was watching the Sabres. I don't know why I was watching the Sabres, but I was watching the Sabres.
Here it airs at 6 and 10.
Yeah. And tonight, it's going to air again at 11 p.m. And since I keep forgetting about it on Saturdays, I always end up watching it Sundays anyway. So we'll talk about this week's Ring of Honor next week. Which I believe is also after Final Battle, the next show that we're doing.
No, Final Battle is the 23rd.
Oh, is it? I thought it was the 17th for some reason.
No.
Okay. All right. So we'll get to talk about Final Battle next week, too. We also had, I did mention, we did have Impact and SmackDown since the last show. Am I the only one that didn't watch Impact, besides JT?
I watched it.
Gee, did you?
Yeah, I did too. Saw it in segments, so it's a little fuzzy memory-wise, but...
Quick rundown.
Yeah, I... Go ahead.
Quick rundown. Robert Roode, Sting, Dixie Carter promo with Roode spitting in Dixie Carter's face. Abyss defeated Samoa Joe and beat down Scott Steiner after the match. Gail Kim, Madison Rayne, Karen Jarrett promo. Sting and Gunner promo. Crimson Morgan... Pope and Devon had a promo and a brawl, which Devon's kids got involved in. Mickey James beat Madison Rayne. Bully Ray and Scott Steiner had a backstage skit. Garrett Bischoff defeated Gunner and then got pile driven on the concrete floor with help from his father, Eric. Storm and Angle promo. Devon, Pope, and Devon's kids had an interaction backstage. Gail Kim defeated Tracy Brooks. Jarrett and Roode had a promo. Daniels had a promo. AJ Styles and Jeff Hardy beat Robert Roode and Jeff Jarrett. And AJ Styles and Robert Roode had a post-match brawl, which I believe ended with Roode standing above Styles. Anybody with any thoughts on Impact this week?
Oh, I have a lot to say about Impact this week, so just check it. First of all, the opening segment with Dixie and Rude and Sting, if I just put aside the part of me that's a wrestling fan and speak as a female, I was probably more disgusted and offended at that segment than the Knockouts washing cars and bikinis earlier this month. And the reason for that is because Dixie looked so pathetic and so weak and so out of place that it was laughable. She's supposed to be the person in charge of the company, and they make this big deal about how she's in charge. She looked absolutely terrified and like she was going to burst into tears at any second. She did not say a word. Sting spoke for her. And as much as I loathe and despise with an unholy, fiery passion of burning Stephanie McMahon, there is no way she would ever have allowed herself to be portrayed as so ineffective and weak on television, and it was awful.
I was actually going to interrupt you there, and I was going to say it's because it's a Southern wrestling promotion, and the Southern men like that, but then I remembered that you're from Texas. So.
Well, don't hold that against me, but then, you know, honestly, I thought about it as soon as I finished ranting about it as I was watching it, and I thought, you know what? That might have been the point all along, and Dixie's too stupid to know. They wanted her to look completely ineffective on TV, and she doesn't know any better.
That could be.
I think there's some truth in that. Okay, not they. We've been calling her a money mark for years, so let's just leave it at that. She should be smart enough to clue in because she's obviously done well in other areas of business, but you would think she would actually have some sort of say in that. But maybe there's a storyline build too. I know it's weird to say that about this show, but I agree with you, Drawa, completely. I was a little offended by it too. And of course it was made even worse because she got spat on by Bobby Roode at the end of that segment, which is just the ultimate offense, just about.
And did nothing.
Anybody ever have anybody actually spit in your face?
Yes.
It's not pleasant, is it?
No, and you could be the mousiest, meekest person on earth. If somebody spits in your face, you're going to just react to that. You're not going to stand there and cry. It's like this innate response that if something like that happens, you're going to jump at him or something. And she just stood there. I'm like, okay, well.
All right. You had more, right?
Oh, yeah. I guess two other things. James Storm's promo was magnificent. Absolutely excellent in every way. If you watch it again, watch his eyes. His eyes are absolutely blazing. He is so intense, but so sincere. And that promo with Angle is a perfect example of why wrestlers need to be allowed to define and cultivate their own personas and speak from the heart instead of from a script. It was great. And you totally believed every word of it. They need more of that. If you haven't seen it, looking at the words written up in a review does not do it justice. You've got to see it. It's amazing. Angle held up his end, but it was all about Storm. It was a thing of beauty.
I will certainly have to look that up.
Yeah, I second that. I totally agree. The only thing I want to add to that is a little bullet that I made a note or two on that particular segment, and she covered most of it. But the way I would put it is James Storm put his adversary over as a huge challenge, and it made the program better. It made you want to see him face Angle. And it was exactly like Drow said. They gave Storm leeway, and he took the ball and he ran with it, and it was brilliant. Absolutely.
Essentially the complete opposite of John Cena with Zack Ryder last week.
Yep.
Yeah. The anti-writer.
Yeah.
I don't need this belt.
The last... this isn't relevant. And the last thing about Impact I wanted to comment on, and I know we've mentioned it before about the whole Pope D-Von and the kids thing.
Oh.
Subpoint A. D-Von's promo was actually quite good, setting up the tag team title match with the new champs of Matt Morgan and Crimson, sort of like the Storm promo. He's putting it over as, you know, you guys are new, but we can tell that you're good. And, you know, I've won 23 tag team titles in my day. I know what I'm talking about. It's going to be, you know, quite a match we're going to have. And then the Pope had to go and ruin it with racist crap that I guess, you know, the people who write things imagine is funny. Yeah, the Pope is so much better than that material he had. It was really kind of a letdown. And subpoint B, D-Von's children are not 7 years old. It gets really, really ridiculous. Yeah, no kidding. The announcers act like they're young, impressionable children. They behave like they're young, impressionable children. They're adults. This is really sad.
Yeah.
I did catch
one episode this year. I keep saying I haven't seen the show in a year. I did catch one where I happened to be home on a Thursday, and I reviewed the show, and D-Von's kids were out there, and they're adults. I'm not a TNA wrestling fan. I don't watch the show, and I know this.
I think there was only one part of the Pope's argument that made sense to me, and the racist part of it was not that part. It was he said, "Hey, I'm here to make money," and you know, it, traditionally in fights, you're going for the purse, right? But other than that, it was lost because he kind of took it on an angle where he's throwing around, you know, slurs, and it's just out of nowhere, literally out of left field. And yeah, I'm disappointed because as you know, some people might know, I am a bit of a fan of the Pope. He is my Pope, your Pope, the Pope, after all. But he's had I almost swore, trying to keep it clean. He's had a really bad year. At the end of the day, it's not as bad as Samoa Joe's year, and I don't blame Joe for that either. I go right back to the writers, too. And it all started with a pig through the table. and these guys have been on a downward spiral. I'm not looking forward to this tag match because I don't have a lot of confidence in the champions even being able to have a match without getting gassed.
Right.
And now I'm a little just disappointed that if it becomes a feud, it's just going to turn into a race war. And we're done with that. I don't need to see that in wrestling in 2011.
Well, it's been a while since I've watched, I do recall Matt Morgan being a tremendous athlete. I don't know if that's changed, but the Matt Morgan I know, I don't see him getting gassed in this match.
Did you happen to catch his
after the injury?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, I forgot about his injury. I was just saying
that after his injury.
Yeah, I think I last saw him before the injury. So yeah, maybe he's having trouble getting his wind back. Okay.
Well, on a positive note, they've sent two guys back to Ohio Valley, one of whom is Anarchia. I think they should have thought about sending him to actually learn how to wrestle before he screwed up a move and put Chris Sabin out for a year. But hey, that's just me. But at least he's not going to be on TV for a while.
Yay!
Right. The other one was Jesse Neal, wasn't it?
They were going to send him to Ohio Valley, but he said he could not afford to move there. They wanted him to move, and he couldn't afford it. So all of the stuff that was being said that, oh, he refused to go and he's getting fired, that wasn't true at all. He has no problem going to Ohio Valley, but he couldn't relocate.
Okay. The company really wants him to go. Couldn't they pay for him to relocate? You know, if they think he's that bad, he needs to go.
Well, this is TNA here, you know.
Yeah.
They got to focus on giving all the spending their money on the whatever D-list celebrity they can get to do two shows instead of taking care of their...
Chris Masters' contract isn't going to pay for itself.
Yeah. or even, you know, like, you know, didn't one of them go apply for welfare this year? One of their TNA wrestlers?
Yeah, that was Jesse Neal and Christina Von Erie. They got food stamps.
Yep.
And I don't think
he got in trouble for tweeting about it.
I don't think it's in the way that Whole Dirty Bastard did. I don't think he's proud of the fact that he's on welfare and working for a national wrestling organization. Who was the other one then? Who else is being sent down?
Let me think. I remembered Anarchia, and it wasn't Jesse Neal, but I can't remember the other one.
Okay.
Clearly, it was a huge deal.
I'm sure it was. All right. We also had SmackDown this week. Started with Cody Rhodes taking out Booker T, insulting Lillian Garcia, who's back. G actually wanted to talk about that a few weeks ago, and I forgot. Wade Barrett defeated Ezekiel Jackson in 7:53 in the Beat the Clock. G, I read your review. I know what you think of the Beat the Clock, and we'll get into that in a minute. Wade Barrett cut a promo. David Otunga and Teddy Long had a backstage. Daniel Bryan, Josh Matthews, Michael Cole, and Cody Rhodes involved in a segment in the ring. Zack Ryder defeated Heath Slater. Ted DiBiase defeated Jinder Mahal. Mark Henry and The Big Show had their confrontation. Sheamus defeated David Otunga with guest ring announcer Hornswoggle. Cody Rhodes defeated Daniel Bryan by disqualification when Booker T interfered. Teddy Long, Oksana, and Cody Rhodes, little backstage interaction. Orton cut a promo and then defeated Dolph Ziggler in 7:51 to win the Beat the Clock challenge. And then brawled with Wade Barrett before putting Dolph Ziggler through a table, choosing a table match effectively for the TLC match. Gee, I know you had an issue with the Beat the Clock.
I did. Okay, I got to put it in the context a little bit. Friday was a long day for me. I worked 15 hours with an extra hour tacked on each side for commute. So I knew it was a Beat the Clock, and I was looking forward to watching SmackDown. I was actually happy to come home after a long day and sit down and watch some good old wrestling. And at the end of the day, Beat the Clock is one of my favorite premises. I find it adds a lot to the show when there's a number of competitors involved, and as it became apparent that only two individuals were involved in the Beat the Clock challenge, it just ruined the entire premise for me completely. It's almost like you're throwing away one of the only really strong gimmicks that can come out of nowhere and be utilized effectively to build a last-minute match. And that's what I like about it, because they often find themselves in the situation where they haven't really built a pay-per-view up effectively in the amount of time they've been given. And lots of reasons why that could happen, folks. Okay, but at the end of the day, I was just disappointed and let down. I'm still kind of at a loss for words, and I think that's what really made me...
Yeah, I get what you're saying. I mean, it was kind of like, you hear Beat the Clock,
I
think it's going
to
be...
And it wasn't.
Yeah.
And plus, when one of the two people in it was Randy Orton, you pretty much knew the Super Robot Magic Orton, whatever you want to call him, because I call him Super Robot Orton now, because that's what he is to me.
Yeah.
But he knew he was going to win, and like G said in his review, it was a BS ending. You know, he got knocked out with less than 30 seconds left to go outside the ring, and yet he comes in and hits the magic RKO and wins. It was stupid.
Absolutely. I didn't have as big of an issue, I think, as G did with the premise of having, with the execution of it. I do obviously have an issue with the finish. It was ridiculous. They at least announced at the beginning of the match where, okay, this is a Beat the Clock match, and it's going to be Wade Barrett's match and Randy Orton's match, and the winner gets to decide the time, but or the stipulation rather. But again, like G said, it is a waste of the gimmick. It's a great gimmick. It's something good for, like, if you have a Hell in a Cell or an Elimination Chamber or what was that thing they were doing, the Championship Scramble, you do something like that, then you have time to beat, Beat the Clock matches, and whoever wins the Beat the Clock gets to go last into the match or something, like the Elimination Chambers or the you know, or even coming up for Royal Rumble. They could have saved this a month. Done a show full of SmackDown wrestlers. The winner gets to pick their number for the Royal Rumble. You know, something like that. But, you know, they wasted it.
Plus, even on top of that, they end up going, Wade Barrett comes out and says, pick my match. You know, what was the point if you were just going to go with the one guy, you know?
He picked his match anyway, exactly. ridiculous. The one note that I did take, and I didn't take a lot, Wade Barrett got a new tattoo.
Oh, yeah, I did see that.
Yeah. Didn't, I kind of noticed it right when he was coming to the ring. It's like, oh, he got new.
Yes,
ink.
Yes, he
did. In fact,
that
was my get glue check-in. Wade Barrett's got new ink. Anybody else take anything away from SmackDown?
It's roses, I think.
Yeah, I believe so. Don't know what it says. I haven't really read it or seen a good picture of it. But go ahead. Oh. Okay. anybody have anything else to take away from SmackDown?
I took away a major headache from Michael Cole screaming.
Yeah. Well, that's natural. Everybody does that.
He just would not shut up.
Especially about Daniel Bryan. This is ridiculous.
Well, you know, the funny thing is he does. He goes and he claims how that everybody else is a hypocrite. And then Josh Matthews is going, well, you know, you're doing the same thing. Then he goes, shut up. I'm right. It's like.
This is another thing I did take away from SmackDown is, you know where this is eventually leading, right? You can tell just by watching. Anybody? No? Just me?
A Brian Cole program?
It's going to be, get this, Daniel Bryan and Booker T against Cody Rhodes and Michael Cole. You can see it a mile away. It's coming. It's not coming at TLC. It might not come at the Royal Rumble, but by Elimination Chamber, this is going to happen.
Oh boy!
You can tell it's coming.
As long as Rhodes and Bryan carry the load, I can deal with that.
Yeah, the one thing I will give credit to the WWE for is this Cole and Daniel Bryan thing has been going on since season one of NXT.
Yeah,
since Daniel Bryan stepped in the ring, and The Miz was his pro and hated him, Michael Cole's been on his case, and so at least they're consistent with that, but. No, I would also like Michael Cole to shut up sometimes. I did think he was brilliant on Raw when Mark Henry was coming out for his match and Cole's like, he's injured, he's hurt, he just went through this huge match with that submission specialist, that monster, that ring technician, Daniel Bryan. I thought that was brilliant, but most of the time I want him to shut up.
Yeah.
Anybody else with anything from SmackDown? No?
No.
Okay. One question I forgot to ask on Tuesday when we did episode 3. And I'm going to ask this question. I'm going to call on two of you. And then I'm going to give us a fact. And then I'm going to call on the other person and give my thoughts. A couple of weeks ago on Raw, CM Punk came out after he won the WWE Championship. Said, the days of playing hot potato with the WWE Championship are over. So the question I have is, do you feel like those days are actually going to be behind us? Like, for example, do you feel that Punk will hold the title till at least WrestleMania? JT, I'm going to start with you.
Yeah. I think Punk will hold it to WrestleMania. But I think once he does drop it, it'll be basically back to hot potato again.
Now, do you feel that this being 4 months away, that this would still be hot potatoing?
No, because you got to think about it. These days, a long title reign is 3 months, you know? So I would say, if he held from now on Mania, I wouldn't say it's hot potatoing.
All right, but same questions.
I think it's not over. I'm not sure what the exact number of weeks between the title change has been, but I would estimate approximately 3 since like May. So I don't have any confidence in the claim. I want it to happen, but I don't have any confidence in it actually happening. So no.
Now, do you also feel that a four-month title reign would be not hot potatoing it?
At this point, yes.
Okay. The fact that I wanted to point out is now we're talking 4 months to WrestleMania. In the past 5 months, there have been, I believe the number was 8 WWE title changes. We're just started Money in the Bank. CM Punk defeated John Cena to win the title. Took off a couple of weeks later on Raw. Rey Mysterio won the title. John Cena beat Rey Mysterio for the title, so that's 3 already. You go into SummerSlam. CM Punk beat John Cena for the title. That's 4. Alberto Del Rio beat Punk with the Money in the Bank. That's 5. Cena won at Night of Champions is 6. Alberto Del Rio won at the following pay-per-view, Hell in a Cell. That's 7. And CM Punk's was 8 in 5 months. Drow, same question. 4 months. If Punk holds it till WrestleMania, is that still hot potatoing? Also, do you feel like those days are over if you do feel that it's not hot potatoing?
Well, compared to that, 4 months is a legendary title reign, so no, that's not going to be hot potatoing to me. Are they going to follow through with that claim? I don't know. I agree with G on that. I would like to see them decide that we can have longer title reigns, but I'm just not sure that I have faith in them to do it.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, that's what I was feeling is 4 months, you know, in a traditional sense of the word, 4 months is really, it really is hot potato, you know, to use that term, which I'm getting tired of using that term, so I got to come up with something else. But in the past, title reigns lasted years, you know, and ever since, you know, I don't want to say the Attitude Era, but pretty much the Attitude Era killed that. Where we had a year that where there was like 11 title changes, something along those lines, and I don't know the number from this year offhand, but it might be a record for title changes. So 4 months now does seem like an eternity, though I think the Miz's was longer than that, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so. He got his I think what was it, November. And then he had it till after WrestleMania. So yeah.
Yeah, he definitely held it for a while. So I mean, right now the Miz can hold claim to, yeah, I had the longest WWE Championship reign in however many years. You know?
Yeah, because I think I was homeless when he won the title. That's right.
You know, well, you know, and then we had Cena and I want to say Orton, or maybe it was Batista. They were both World Heavyweight and WWE champions at the same time, and they were the first ones to hold it for longer than a year since Diesel back in the 90s.
It was John Cena was the one. John Cena had the WWE title. He was the first one to have the one for over a year.
It was him, and I think Batista was the World Heavyweight champion for the same period of time, but lost his sooner than Cena did, I think.
Yeah.
But just barely.
I think Cena's would have been longer had he not got... Well, I think both of them would have been longer had they not got bit by the injury bug.
Oh, yeah.
Because right after he became, like, what was it, the third longest title reign or fourth, he got injured and had to drop the title, so...
Yeah. Is it sad the fact that Kevin Nash is still one of the longest reigning champions of the past 15 years? It's probably longer than that now, right? It's probably... 16, 17 years?
You also got to think, too, yeah, the Attitude Era did change, but you also got to think before the Attitude Era, they weren't running 14 pay-per-views a year. Yes, they were wrestling 52 weeks a year, but, you know, they weren't, you know, you didn't have, you know, the TV that they have today. You didn't have three two-hour programs you had to do every week, you know. It is a little bit more today than it was, you know, when Hulk Hogan is. You know, like, I remember Hulk Hogan defending his title. Yes, he would do it on house shows, but I don't count house shows. He would only defend it at WrestleMania, then SummerSlam, and then they didn't even have a title defense at Survivor Series. So, the next title defense, if there was one, would be at the Royal Rumble. So,
right. I remember when I was a kid. You never even saw the champion on TV. Hulk Hogan was never on TV.
Or if he did, he'd wrestle Joe P.S. forget me before they even announce my name. You know,
it was rare to see Hogan wrestle on TV. You'd see him on like the funeral parlor or you know Brother Love show or something. But you know, doing an interview with Mean Gene. But you'd rarely ever see him actually wrestle on TV unless you know it was a pay per view. And in between was rare. You know, like a Saturday night's main event would be where you'd see Hogan wrestle. But you could go back to WrestleMania 4. Randy Savage won the WWF Championship and didn't lose it until WrestleMania 5.
Yeah.
And you don't see that anymore. You know, Hogan didn't lose that one until WrestleMania 6.
Well, I think champions are held to a different standard now with living and dying by segments of ratings and how much merch do you move and that kind of thing. I think that Vince and company are much more insecure with the ability to allow a champion that long of a reign because, oh, look, you've sold 5 fewer shirts this month. We must get this title off of you. It just seems like they're the people in charge look at different things now. And so whoever the champion is held to a completely different standard of whether or not they should continue to be the champion than it was back when Diesel had it. Because I think if he were the champion now, it would not last long.
All right. You're probably right because he'd tear a quad.
step, rip.
Yeah.
Yep.
I forgot what my next point was. But yeah, it used to be you'd have a year title reign at least. The question I had was, can we blame WCW for this?
Huh.
Anybody?
No, I wouldn't blame them for it because, well, I don't know. I wouldn't blame WCW for it, but, you know, we don't know what would happen if there wasn't WCW, you know. Maybe we'd still be getting the same, you know. Well, no, maybe, wait, okay, let me backtrack here. Maybe it wouldn't be WCW because the thing is, Raw was still doing a weekly, you know, I think they would have progressed to this even if there wasn't a WCW.
Do you think we'd have, 13, 14 pay-per-views a year if it wasn't for WCW saying, hey, you know what, I'm going to do a pay-per-view this month when they're not doing one?
No.
No?
I think they might have added a couple more. I think you'd have, and plus we'd probably still have the King of the Ring. Probably still the King of the Ring and probably one other one in the year, but I don't think they would be at 14 this year. How would they be at 14 if there were no dub?
Yeah. We were talking about the ratings and the rating spikes, and they're so focused on ratings, and I think a lot of that has to do with WCW because WCW was trouncing them every week, 82 weeks in a row, and I think before that they were just let's put on a good wrestling show. So to me, it almost is like, yeah, we could say WCW has a lot to do with the fact that we're losing, you know, we're having WWE championships, which is every 2 months. G or Drow?
Well, I don't know that blame is the operative word, but yeah, you know, I think the way you put it, you could definitely say that there was influence from WCW for why that happens. They always lived and died by quarterly ratings, which, as we all know, is part of what killed them. And I think once something like that transfers over and Vince and everybody in the E start thinking that way, they can't shut it off and go back to the way they used to be.
Right. G?
This is a great question. It's always interesting to look back at things that, you know, change history in any regard. And I have to agree in some capacity that having the model that WCW did impacted the WWF and now E certainly towards kind of like the crash television model. And they did it for so long with such success that I don't think they know how to go back. I don't know if the fans would even accept it as you know, terrible as it is. We're sitting here, we're on the internet, we're the 10%ers, we're the ones overanalyzing, or, well, I'm not hating, I'm just saying that the average audience, you know, viewership is one of two things. One is the casual fan that kind of wants to go back to that Attitude Era style of program, and they tune in and they expect to see something like that. And then the other side of it is the kids, and I'm not going to hate on the kids either, but come on. I mean, the attention span of the youth today is pretty short. I don't know if I can actually just blame the WCW for that. I think modern technology with the internet and texting and you know, just Twitter, it all comes down to all sort of, it's more complex. I guess that's why I like this question. I think the WCW was the initial start of it, but I have to agree with JT. I think we would have gotten here anyway at time, and maybe not as quickly, but it's a product of society, really. I'm getting all deep and philosophical, but I really think that. I don't think we could just lay the blame on one company, rather just kind of the state of the way television and entertainment is in this, you know, 2011 that we're at. So
I think maybe I didn't word that fairly to WCW, but I think if the competition wasn't there, you know, I don't know if they would have evolved to what we have today, where every single match is a superstar against a superstar instead of, you know, hey, here's Barry Horowitz. Barry Hardy. Give a little shout out there. Hi, Barry.
Anyway. Pat on the back.
Yeah. But, yeah. You know, Barry Hardy's a big superstar now on the indie circuit. Never quite got big in WWE, you know, but he's solid wrestler. He's out there. He's still working. Great guy. I don't know if anybody remembers Barry Hardy besides me, but if anybody's listening, they want to know who Barry Hardy is. If you go back, you watch some old WWF Superstars episodes. He's the guy with the mullet where it's black underneath and blonde. The long part's blonde. That's Barry. Anyway, I digress. No, I agree with what you say, though, is that the shortened attention spans in today's generation probably wouldn't lend itself to a superstars kind of show with, you know, oh, here we have CM Punk, and he's wrestling against SD Jones. You know, I don't think it would lend itself to that, but, you know.
Don't call him out, Brayden. SD Jones ain't no slouch.
But if we take away some of the pay-per-views, maybe, if we cut it down to even 10, or, you know, I mean, there was a span of a month. We had Night of Champions, then 2 weeks later we had Hell in a Cell, and 2 weeks later was SummerSlam. If we got rid of some of these pay-per-views, some of the excessive ones, get rid of some of the ones that aren't doing so well. Vengeance, I think, did like 200,000 buys or something like that, you know?
Well, there's some that were even lower. I was hearing some were getting like 70,000 and 80,000.
Well, whatever Vengeance got, I don't know the actual number, whatever Vengeance got, it was the second lowest of all time, which means the only one lower than that was ECW December to the Remember.
Ooh.
Yeah. So now, if we get rid of some of these pay-per-views that aren't doing so well, obviously the buy rates are going to go up for the other pay-per-views, because the people that are buying Night of Champions aren't going to pay another $45 in 2 weeks to buy, you know, Hell in a Cell or Vengeance or whatever. You know, I think if they cut down to whatever they're, you know, like a decent number, six, once every other month, we could go back to doing maybe a slow build. Maybe the viewers will come back and they'll stay tuned in because they want to know what happens next, instead of, you know, hey, we're going to put this match on pay-per-view in 2 weeks. By the way, here's who's going to win. You know, it almost feels like that these days. And the same. And this is not a specific WWE question. This is TNA, too. They do the same thing. They just started 3 years ago, and they've got, more than 3 years now. But, you know, they just started, and they've got a pay-per-view every month that they want you to spend $45.95 on. Or, well, theirs are cheaper, I know, but, you know, they want you to spend money on theirs. WWE wants to spend money on theirs. And UFC, UFC does it every, what, 2 months, 3 months? And people come out in record numbers for them. So, I mean, you think if they cut down, buy rates will go up?
UFC is worse than WWE these days, man. They're they almost have one a week at this point. I think there's 6 weeks in a row leading up to the end of the year. There's some sort of event, whether it's on a Fox or a pay per view.
I'm referring specifically to pay per views, though.
They're probably almost on a 3 week model at this point, and it's. Because they bought up Strikeforce, you know, you have to kind of lump Strikeforce into their programming because they're profiting off of both now, right? So,
okay,
I don't know. I don't follow a lot of the UFC. I tune in for a few particular fighters and here and then. I like my fighting fake, to be honest with you. But,
yeah, same here, quite honestly.
But I do follow it a little bit. It's kind of hard not to if you follow dirt sheets because they're all lumps, you know?
Yeah. Go ahead, Drow. Drow, do you have a point there?
I was going to say that with the whole short attention span argument, do you guys think that is why, or it may not even be true, but do you think Ring of Honor will never be mainstream successful because they don't cater to the short attention span type crowd? They have longer matches, they have longer everything, and you know, some people say that because of what ROH is, it will never be a real competitor for the mainstream wrestling bit, and if you're going off of the attention span of the audience thing, there might be some truth to that, whether we as fans like it or not. What do you guys think?
Having watched Ring of Honor, quite honestly, I think the in-ring product is just as exciting as anything you see on TNA or WWE, and they do have matches that go longer. I don't know if that's just because I'm a wrestling fan and I like wrestling on my wrestling shows. You know, to me, it's almost like with the energy that these guys have and the excitement that they build up in the matches, my attention span is not, you know, I'm not looking down at Twitter. I'm not looking at Facebook. I'm not, you know, seeing what app I could get for my Android. You know, mm-hmm. I'm watching these matches like, holy crap, look at these guys go. So I think with the talent they have, no, I really don't think the short attention span will affect them, especially with a wider viewing audience able to actually watch them. Do I think they're going to be competition anytime relatively soon for WWE or TNA? No, I don't think so. I think they need to up their production a lot more. But that depends on what Sinclair wants to put into it. If they get enough ratings, then yeah, eventually I think it would be. Who's next?
Yeah, you got it right on the nose. I can't really add any more to it. You hit every point. You know, I think I can't argue with you there, Joe.
Yeah, G, any thoughts?
I agree for the most part that they're not going to be catering towards the younger demographic. First of all, their time slot is really not helping them out in most of the markets, at least. So they're aiming their product towards a little bit of an older generation. With time, will they build the same type of following? Yeah, I think it's possible. But it's going to take, you know, the older teenage brothers and sisters and fathers who, like, get their kids exposed to it, the kids that are living in, you know, the Cena world right now. When they get a little bit older and they start to appreciate an actual match, like you say, a wrestling on a wrestling show, I think there's potential there. I want to be optimistic because I'm a fan too. But I do see that you know, the approach is, it could work. I you know, I know ECW isn't the best comparison, but in a lot of ways it's probably the most accurate to the way they've set themselves up at this point in time. You know, really late night. We don't want kids watching our show because we're not going to give them what they want. We're going to do things a little differently, and we're going to give the older, more hardcore wrestling fans good solid matches and believable, sometimes a little bit out of you know, out of the world storylines, but not too much, you know. And there's nothing like completely far-fetched, really, in any of the storylines in Ring of Honor, in my opinion. And that's where I see a little bit of difference between ECW and Ring of Honor. But again, the time and the place in the mid-90s, I think wrestling fans gravitated towards that program because it was almost like a farcical take of what was going on in the WWF and WCW at the time, right? I mean, you had Yetis that were dressed like mummies, and everyone was, you know, who was a wrestler had a day job, you know, they were a plumber or right. a taxman. And so ECW's like, okay, that's what you want. we're gonna book a guy who his gimmick is he just gets his ass handed to him every week for a very long time, and eventually he's gonna get over. And Mikey Whipwreck, he's essentially the best example of how far fetched they went. Ring of Honor is kind of a modern day, more reality based version of ECW in my mind. And I'll end my rant there. I'm kind of rambling. I know that.
The comparisons to ROH and ECW are very valid because you watch the show. It's almost the same type of show. It's an hour show. They have 2 to 3 matches, which are excellent matches, just like ECW's were for what they were. And the rest of the show is taken up by promos, introducing guys, interviews with guys, and plugs for the merchandise and the website. So it's almost like watching ECW, except modern day with no weapons or a very limited amount. But yeah, I mean, I think to go back to the question, yeah, I think they definitely will have a shot eventually if the ratings are there, if the fans want to see it. The problem with expanding and becoming the national product, in a sense of we're going to compete with WCW WWE and TNA, is that we're going to have lights and our fans aren't going to be used to it. They're going to turn on us like ECW did. they could do what Paul Heyman did and say, hey, no, we're not going to change the look of the show. This is our show. This is what people like about it. We're not going to change it. But then when they get the network deal, the network says, well, this is, your show, but it's on our network and we could change that. They'll change their tune. Paul Heyman didn't have the, Paul Heyman's a brilliant man, a visionary, but his vision did not allow that. I guess it remains to be seen. But I do think eventually, if they wanted to, if Sinclair wanted to put the money into it, absolutely, Ring of Honor could do it. As long as Cornette's booking, I'm comfortable with anything they do. Because Cornette is a brilliant, brilliant man. And going back to what we were talking about earlier with the squash matches, I remember hearing Jim Cornette once say, hey, we're never going to be able to go back to, but there's no dream matches anymore. Because everybody's wrestling everybody else on TV every week. There's very rare to find a dream match. And in this case, there's the quote-unquote dream match coming up at WrestleMania with Cena and The Rock. But you can have that because you don't have The Rock on TV. You haven't had The Rock on TV in 7 years. And so, in fact, let's make that a question. Dream match between guys that are active right now, if you can think of one, tell me what it is. G, I'm going to start with you.
Okay. I guess that means I have to dip into federations that are not...
I don't mean to interrupt. I got to go, guys.
All right, JT, take
care. I don't mean to be a jerk.
We knew you had stuff going on, so we'll let you go.
So I'll talk to you guys later.
All right, take care.
Bye.
Next week.
Yep.
Okay, G, continue on.
Okay. I was going to say guys that are on different programs, but there is one that we have seen them grapple before, but we haven't seen them on the WWE stage grapple. I want to see CM Punk, Daniel Bryan lock up. That would be great. It will take some character shifting, and someone has to be a heel and someone has to be a face, most likely. And then I'd also argue that if we're going to pull someone in or out of, I don't care what promotion they jump ship, I'd like to see AJ Styles, and I'd like to see the Motor City Machine Guns be able to tangle with a number of guys in the WWE, as well as Ring of Honor, because these are the guys that put on the great matches. These are the technical wrestlers, and traditionally, they're usually the guys that are going to steal the show. So I don't really know if I could target one particular guy against AJ Styles. I would go back to Punk and Brian. I know, again, they've crossed paths way back in the day, but I'd like to see where they're at today. If Rey Mysterio was healthy, I would love to see a healthy Mysterio against Styles. I guess that'll be my dream match pick for cross promotions, because I would end up speculating the rest of the show about a billion others.
Right. All right, Drow.
Oh, G beat me to the punch on one of those. I was going to say Air Boom versus the Machine Guns, because that would just be so very cool.
When he mentioned the Machine Guns.
A lot of the ones I want to see are not main event level matches, but you didn't.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I was cutting you off there. Go ahead.
Hello?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Oh, no. It just went all quiet for a second.
Oh, no. Go ahead.
Yes. Yes, I can hear you. Okay. The main event matches, I didn't really think a lot of, because a lot of the people I want to see would not be, you know, world title people, but I would actually like to see, for example, and I know we've seen it in Ring of Honor, I'd like to see like Daniel Bryan and Alex Shelley. I'd like to see Drew McIntyre and AJ Styles.
Good one.
Just stuff that would not necessarily be at the top of the card, but it would probably just be amazing if you actually had it happen. I want to see Alex Kozlov come from wherever they're hiding him in developmental and, you know, put him against somebody, because I really, really enjoyed his work when I've seen it. Which I guess that's not really a dream match if there's not one specific opponent, but those are the things I want to see.
Alex Kozlov, I remember him. He was awesome.
Yeah, he's great.
TV. Absolutely, he was great. I think you hit it right on the head. I think CM Punk and Daniel Bryan today would be an awesome match, and maybe you get... I don't know if you guys realize this or remember this, but I'm a huge proponent of let's get rid of the brand split. Let's get rid of half the titles. Let's unify them. Let's get Daniel Bryan the World Heavyweight Championship. Let him cash in on a face. Okay, let the Big Show win at TLC and Bryan cashes in. And then he's like, well, you know, I still want to have my match at WrestleMania. How about you, CM Punk? We'll unify the titles. Let's do that. Let's do that. That would be awesome, in my opinion. I think they should unify the titles. That's been my opinion for a while. But maybe those two are the guys to do it. Drow, I also agree with you. Definitely Air Boom and the Machine Guns would put on a hell of a tag team match. And, I'd like to see Hardy Boys in their prime against Generation Me or the Young Bucks, whatever we're calling them these days. Nope, we lost the call. Hello?
Apparently. Yeah.
Says yeah, we lost the call.
Internet connections. Oh.
There's a problem.
I think that would be a good match, though, in the prime. We'll see what happens with Drow here.
I think we lost
her. Reconnects.
Drow, are you back?
Yes, I think so.
Okay. It said there was a problem with the call. I thought I lost everybody again. All right, we got about 5 minutes left.
Those gremlins, curse them.
Yeah, well, at least they only hit once this week.
Okay.
All right, we got about 5 minutes left. Anybody else have a question? G?
I wasn't prepared for a question. I don't have one off the top of my head. I'm sorry.
All right, Drow, you have any questions? No? I'm out of questions, too. I guess that means we're ending the show 5 minutes early this week.
Well, I brought up the Ring of Honor question. I think that counts as mine.
Yeah. All right. I just got to find the exit music. I had it queued up. It's gone. And then we'll end the show. Anything to look forward to on the TNA pay-per-view tonight? Anybody ordering the pay-per-view tonight? Watching through other means tonight?
I'm going to try to catch up on it a bit later. There's some matches I do want to see. I think Angle is going to have a good match with Storm. Definitely want to watch the X Division match at some point. I'm really curious about that.
Yep. Ignore the music
there. I'm not paying for it, though. I just got too much going on today. And I don't think I'd pay for it, even if I didn't. I'm sorry.
Joe, any interest in the pay-per-view tonight? Joe? Hello? Did we lose her again?
Few things, but overall, not really. Yes? Hello?
You're here later.
We did, but I thought I was back. Hello?
You're hearing me later.
Okay, I guess the gremlins have gotten me. It was... Hello?
Wait, we're on a delay. Oh, she's gone.
Yeah, I don't think she can hear us, even though we can hear her.
She was on a delay is what happened. She was behind us. So we were talking, and she didn't hear us. And, okay, so she's back online. Can you hear us now?
Yes.
Okay. You had a delay is what happened, and so you were hearing me ask you questions like 2 minutes after I asked you. So go ahead about the pay-per-view tonight.
Okay. A couple of things are interesting. Overall, not much. Certainly not enough to make me want to buy the show and invite people over to watch it with me. Anything involving James Storm is going to be great, and I do want to see that. The X Division match with it should be what, Austin Aries and Kid Cash and Jesse Sorensen. That will probably be really good, although Sorensen needs something beyond "I played football in high school," and I know in Texas that's supposed to be enough, but it isn't. So he needs something else. The main event of Styles and Rude, I just think 30 minutes isn't really an Iron Man match. Yeah, I want to see it, and it'll be a good match, but 30 minutes is just not long enough to really be an Iron Man match. But I guess I'm one of those people spoiled on the old school version that was 60 minutes.
Compared to other TNA matches, that's an Iron Man match.
True that.
One thing I forgot to mention earlier is they made a change to the Jarrett Hardy cage match. And I don't know if you heard this. If Hardy wins, not only does he get the title shot, but either Jeff or Karen Jarrett will be gone from TNA.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay, that's new.
Yeah, they added that midweek. Dixie tweeted it.
Ah, I vote Karen.
Yeah, same here. I don't even watch the show.
I was going to say, she's the only one that...
Yeah.
Oh, pardon?
Yeah, she's the only one...
Karen's the only one they can pick, because they're not getting rid of Jeff Hardy. They're not getting rid of Jeff Jarrett. It has to be her.
Essentially, that gives away the ending of the match.
Yes. But hey, we'll get our Knockouts division back, maybe, possibly, hopefully, so can't complain.
Yeah. One more question before we go. Better value, WWE TLC or TNA Final Destination G?
TNA wins this one. They screwed up. WWE forgot how to book their wrestlers. They made everyone look weak. All the SmackDown guys lost. Bad WWE. Bad.
Drow.
Shocked as I am to say it, I'm agreeing with G, just because of the three matches that we talked about have been handled better than pretty much anything that's going to be on the TLC show.
All right. Sounds good. I can't form a valid opinion because I haven't seen TNA, so I would certainly say WWE, but that's just me. All right. Time's up here. We'll see you guys next week. Thanks to Larry G Pro for one question before we go. Was that supposed to sound like Bill Cosby?
Yeah, a little bit. That is me's on vocals. Yep.
Thanks, everybody. Good night. We'll see you next week.